You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Making waves.
All right, well, welcome to Making Waves. We hope that everyone had a wonderful, lovely, and especially safe holiday. Our guest tonight, Giovanni from Giovanni and the Hired Guns. Giovanni, welcome. Thank you for joining Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast. We appreciate it, man.
Yes, thank you all so much for having me on here. I really appreciate y'all.
Yeah, you guys right now are in the midst of a tour.
Yes.
And if you know anything about your band, is you guys are quite relentless about your road shows. And it's funny, and probably Chad can speak to this as well, is like you guys hit every watering hole that has a stage, it seems like. You know, some bands route out like 15, 20 dates. They hit the big places, you know, Chicago, New York, Boston. You guys are hitting every place, everywhere in every state. It's an amazing. How many shows do you think you guys are going to knock out this year?
Maybe 200, 220, maybe something like that.
Those are Cheap Trick numbers.
Yeah. Maybe. I got it. I don't know. I know I leave tomorrow, so I'm chilling. I chilled here for a day and a half, and now I'm off tomorrow again on a tour.
Are you home right now in Texas?
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
Every chance I get to come home or fly home, I'll come home.
The super interesting thing about you guys can play like a Pine Bluff, Arkansas to like a pool hall or whatever it may be, whatever the town has as their venue. But then you guys will go and play Lollapalooza. You'll play, you know, Louder Than Life or whatever. So what's that like for you? Because you guys have been around now about 5-6 years.
Yep.
And yeah, probably longer like that. Than that, kind of building the band. But you guys are still relatively, I guess we'd consider a newer band because you guys are really starting to break out nationally now. What's it like to kind of have that one night where you're playing to a small town crowd who's probably super appreciative because not many bands are rolling through. Yeah. And then you're going to play in Chicago to 60,000 people. What's that like as far as your headspace on that?
It's definitely, like, we've played big shows. I think a big show that we did was the Daytona Beach one. And then the next day we were
Rockville.
And yes, Welcome to Rockville. Mm-hmm. And then the next day we played in St. Petersburg, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. In a little pool hall. And man, it's humbling. It's like, I don't know. I think it keeps us in check of like, hey man, yeah, we're rocking these faces on these big stages, but we're still a nobody at the end of anything. We're not, you know, if we were, then we'd be playing in big old stadiums, but it's,
you're working your way up. I mean, you did the Aldean show in Arlington there, which is a huge stadium. And obviously these festivals, you're getting to kind of like someone who's booking the shows going, hey, there's this band. But the super interesting thing about something you said, and I know Chad was in this band, Wilson, he can tell you about that. And those guys are road dogs as well, is that you might go, man, we're playing this small little club in this small town, but guess what? The fan base you're building is going to be enormous because of that, man. It's like bands like Aerosmith and Kiss built these 50-year careers off that thinking.
Right. Yes. And that's our thinking every night. Like, it doesn't matter if we're playing a room full of 10,000 people or we're playing in a room full of, you know, 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. It's the same energy. Even if it was 10 people, nothing changes. The energy doesn't change. And that's what we do every single night that we play, is we try to smash that venue into the ground to, like, you know. Yeah.
Well, don't do that. You got
to No. Right. But, you know,
pull it trapped or something.
Oh God.
Well, I was going to mention what Justin said about that. Cutting yourself short here is, there's on the other end of what you're doing. You must be confident. People must be confident that you're going to smash that stage and leave it, because you're pivoting in these smaller spaces to these larger spaces with grace, right? Obviously. And you have the humble, I've known you for 10 minutes, not even now. And I can tell that you've got the humbleness dialed in, and you're clearly out there having fun. So they're trusting that 30 to 60 minute space in the, you know, it's time and space. That's what a music festival is, right? You only have so much time, and you got to fill it with the right product, quote unquote, as a buyer. But the idea of what you're doing is, they're confident in what they're purchasing to put on that stage to play for these people, whether 10,000 people are there to see them or two people are there in that 10,000 crowd of people are there to see them. They know that the 10,000 people who are in there are going to remain engaged for the remainder of that hour or 60 minutes and not be like, what are you guys doing putting this band on? I have to say, I just found out about all these huge things that you were doing, like, literally an hour before. I've been listening to the music and checking out the videos and stuff, but I had no idea things like you're moving between places like Lollapalooza and Rockville, which is a completely, for the most part, even though you can see some of those bands Venn diagramming there, they're different when it comes to the world of what they are in the festival space. That's got to be pretty interesting. And I was hoping to hear, like, since you haven't played Lollapalooza, I don't know if you can really talk about it yet, unless you've played something similar, but Rockville to something completely on the other end of the spectrum, like Lollapalooza. Have you done something like that as a band yet?
Never. This is our first something like Lolla is. And I'm really excited to see how, I don't know, man. I try not to think about it until, like, the day of, and, like, take in that moment. And I'm sure, you know, we're going to go out there, and, you know, I'm confident in us that we will rock out and, you know, try to engage with everything. And it's insane to me. I don't really know how to explain it, man. I don't know how to answer the question of, I don't know. Yeah, we haven't played it, and it's really neat. Like, now we're talking about getting into maybe into the Latin America and doing a full song in Spanish. So, like,
you know what, the demographic for
why not,
or what, it's so expansive that it's changed over time. But it's funny you talk about what you guys playing so much. I think a lot of that speaks to where you're from, Texas. There's a work ethic for Texas bands that's been instilled since the 60s. ZZ Top was the same way. ZZ Top, Steve Ray Vaughan, all these bands, Steve Miller, all these bands that came up played until their fingers bled every night, 200 plus nights a year. Yeah. Now, it's funny. You guys are from, like, Stephenville's kind of like where that was the focus, but now you're obviously up in the DFW area. It's funny because another bunch of a band that's a bunch of friends of ours now, Blacktop Mojo, you know, they're just from outside Dallas, right? They're from Palestine. It's just funny to see. It also shows, too, that you don't need to be from a big city to have a band that's starting to make a dent in a national, you know, make some noise nationally. So it's really refreshing. That right there is kind of one of the beauties of the internet, is that someone who's in L.A. Burbank office heard this band on Spotify. I don't know who the fuck they are, but they sound good. Go send someone to check them out.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about your area? Oh, sorry. I don't want to stomp on you there, Justin.
No.
No, I was just going to mention, being from the outside, I used to live in Burleson for like a year. So south of where you're at, south, I guess, east a little bit from Stephenville, I read.
Yeah, Stephenville, yeah.
Yeah. And I know what it was like to be in this weird space. I was playing music, and I wasn't, not the band he's referring to, but just, like, I was trying to regain steam in an area of music that I had once had some, and then the band broke up. So I moved down there from Detroit to play. What I noticed immediately, and you can compound or tell me that I'm fucking wrong here, is that there are all these spaces, like you said, watering holes that actually have places to hone your, like, fans that come out, whether they're just fans of music, or this is, by mind you, like 15 years ago, but fans that come out and listen to the bands because they're just genuinely interested in it,
yes,
at a bar and like a honky tonk or something of this,
yes, course. Yeah, it's still like that. Like, my first $10 that I got tipped was at an open mic in Stephenville, Texas. And that was my first, I was just like, oh shit, like what? Like, it was nuts. And people just go to those open mics to listen, to see. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
For the energy of being around people.
How old were you when you got that tip?
19 years old.
At that point,
I remember getting trouble by the bartender there. Her name is Kat. God bless her heart. I hope, you know, I don't know where she's at, but yeah, I was 19 years old and I would give her.
You know what she's doing? She's telling the story to her friends at a bar.
Maybe.
So you're 19 and $10 tip, $10 doesn't seem like much, really, quite anything, except when you're looking for $10. But to get a $10 tip when you're 19, what was your first thought in your head? Like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my fucking life. Or are you like, damn, that's all I get?
No, it was like, what the fuck? I just got tipped. Why'd I get tipped $10? And I grabbed those $10 and I walked over to that pool table to where that guy was. And I was like, here you go, man. He's like, no, that's for you. I was like, no, I can't take this here. And I was broke. I was broke, dude. Like, but it felt, I don't know. And I was like, no. He's like, no, you take that. You deserve that. And like, after that, I was kind of like, okay. And then he was like, hey, man, I run this golf course. I'm having like a little song swap. And around that time, this band called Six Market Boulevard was like, to me. Like, they were just this little rocking band in Stephenville. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, you're going to song swap with Clayton Landy, which was the lead singer of Six Market Boulevard. And that was like one of my very first shows was a song swap with it. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? And then everything after that has kind of been that kind of moment of.
What the, like, fuck is going on?
Yes. Yes. Everything that has happened, every like major thing in my life that is like progressed is like insane to me. Like,
I think if it was that moment of trying to give the $10 back, because the universe is definitely listening. Plus, you're the only person in modern music that actually leaves money on the table. So good on you. But so talking about your music, 2017, The Bad Habits, the first record, it had more of a country flair. I think we can all kind of agree that it was kind of steeped in that. And I'm not the Red Dirt stuff, but just seemed like a good Texas country rock album.
Yeah.
And then the self-titled record seemed to kind of add a little bit more of the rock element. There was, and listen, don't ever take offense when I have to, sometimes you have to bring in influences in order to kind of explain a newer band of people. Obviously there's hints of Foo Fighters in some of your delivery.
Oh yeah.
Some of your stuff, some of the acoustic bits sounds like Everlast when he went into that kind of realm.
Yeah.
So there was definitely some stuff, and there's some, you know, there's a little punk pop thing. I wouldn't say Blink 182, but there's an element of like, you kind of kicked it up a notch. Was that something you guys were wanting to do to kind of just move the music forward, or did you not want to just get pigeonholed into this thing? And like, I'll explain my question to you after I get your answer.
Kind of both, if I'm understanding it. Yeah, because I feel like everyone around this scene here that's in Texas is doing the same thing. And we've always wanted to be a little more rock. I think that's why we did the Bad Habits albums. We can have an album that was, to me, it was a little more grungier country. Mm-hmm. You know, had a little more electric guitar than acoustic guitar on some songs, and I wanted that so I can get by to be able to hand this album out to people at venues. Now they'd be like, oh, okay, here's a whatever, and then we get hired to co-play at these country venues, And then we play our, I mean, nothing has changed besides our progression of music that we've always wanted to play, if that makes any sense. We just had to make a record so we can get into venues. And then we started just venturing off in the music that we genuinely wanted to play. If that makes any sense, to get our ahead foot into the door.
Ahead of your geolocation time specifically. I think when I think here about that, think about 2017 record, I immediately think of Denton. When I used to live down there, I would see rock, I don't want to say stoner rock band, but Southern twangy rock stuff always come out of the northern part of that little Fort Worth, Dallas area. And now you're kind of like in the middle, I feel like maybe leaning into Dallas after that, because Dallas is more of the step. I feel like everything was, we're going to make it because it's a bigger city, you know?
Right.
And then when you come back to the middle, that Arlington space is where like, okay, now both of these worlds are kind of working to their advantage. And if you don't know about Texas, specifically Fort Worth and Dallas, that maybe that might not make sense to anybody else, but you're from there. And I don't know if I'm completely wrong here, but my time spent there, it felt like maybe that might be a good way.
Yeah. And then, so the self-titled album, I wanted it to be a staple of, look, this is who we are. So that's why we self-titled it. We're like, we are Joe and the Hired Guns. This is what, you know, this is what it is. And we didn't hold back on this album. We're not holding back on this next one. And I'm not saying it's this next album is a 50-50. It could either go country or it could go rock like we have been doing so far. And hopefully, you know, it'll keep going and it's awesome.
Now, the reason why I asked that question is because I was talking to a friend who's quite familiar with you beyond the fact when I mentioned that we're going to be talking to you, he's like, oh, I fucking love that band. So we started talking about it and we thought, and we both listened to records both way through and we're like, you know what? It's a smart fucking band because you guys can now play a lot of different fields here. You know, it's easy to sit there and we kind of go, well, they would sound good like this. I mean, like, you could see you did one show with Aldean. You could do a whole tour with him, right? You could do a whole tour with Kid Rock. You could do that kind of thing where you can split off because the sound is so appealing because there's such a fine line now between country and rock. And the fan has gotten used to it. It's like, you know, it's kind of like when we used to see branding on bands, like, oh my God, they've sold out. What happens is NASCAR became such a thing in our culture. We're used to seeing labels all over everything. So you didn't think about it anymore. So it's the same with country and rock. Like, you know, a girl in a country, you know, pair of boots and a country hat, they fucking love Van Halen, right? Yeah. So you guys are very smart to not do that because it also gives your career length. The music always sounds mature. It doesn't sound like you're reaching. So I think it's just a smart move on your part. So you've done that organically. So kudos to you guys for thinking that way. And I know it's probably just a reflection of your record collection.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, my years have gone by and I want to look back at my albums and go from Bad Habits and be like, oh man, it's a little country. And then to going, man, even why not mess with a little electronic music? Like, you know, like why not do whatever? Like, why not try to do everything while you can? Like, who's to tell me that I can't?
Hey man, if Blackberry Smoke can add in organs and synthesizers to their music, why can't you?
Hell yes. You know?
So yeah.
Yeah.
That brings me to a question I had, if you don't mind. You have horns that you carry on tour, right? I don't know if there's a dedicated tuba player, but I watched some videos where it looked like there was a tuba on stage. Is that constant for you? Or
yes.
Okay. How do you care for instruments like a tuba? In this, like, because you're playing, going from, you know, like, I'm assuming you're in a situation very similar to the band he mentioned that I was in, Wilson, where no one's touching your gear but you, and that's a very delicate instrument that you know, the horn.
Yeah,
in
so
man, how does it work out?
Our camp,
space too.
Our camp is a very tight camp with a very well-oiled machine that everybody plays their part. Tell you the truth, that sousaphone is beat to hell, man. Like,
Yeah.
You can't keep that horn, you know. It doesn't matter what anybody does. It doesn't matter how much you take care of it. Like, we're just on the road so much. It just, he literally puts it down on stage and then he puts it on while he still has his bass. Cause we have this new song that we have coming out. That's called Overrated. Maybe don't quote me on any of that, but it has, it has a little bit of
that's the placeholder.
Yeah. It has a little bit of tuba, and he also plays a synthesizer live, and it's a little bitty, you know, like a drum pad kind of thing, and he can make it sound like an accordion. So he'll have the tuba when I'm doing the verses. Like, it's a great song, it's a cool song. And then we venture off into Tragos Amargos, which is a Ramon Ayala song, and then which leads into the song that we have now out that's called Ramon Ayala.
And so I was going to say that the horns had to play into kind of, you know, the Latin aspect of the band, right?
Yes,
yeah. And it's cool because it's, you know, you guys are a Latin band. So, you know, yes. It just makes a whole lot of sense. And I think, and you mentioned about trying to tap into the Latin rock audience. I mean, that's perfectly, because, you know, it's such a culture thing, right? You know?
Yes. And then here in Texas, I love my raza, and they're at our shows, and it is amazing to see, because sometimes they come up to me and they're just like, man, you know, you inspire me. Like, a Mexicano looking at another Mexicano is just like, dude, what you're doing, like, it inspires me every day. Like, I go to work every single day because I just want to whatever. And just like, that is the coolest thing I think about this job is, man. Yeah, dude. Like, yeah.
Yeah, the number one thing about music is communication and relatability.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Man. So you're talking about Ramon Ayala. The video is, listen, like I mentioned Van Halen. I was like, this is a modern Hot for Teacher video. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of the stuff we mentioned, Blink. There's some Blink aspects to some of it. Some of it's a little cheeky, but it's more like, and I thought this is Hot for Teacher. It's fucking Hot for Teacher.
Yes, it was Hot for Teacher.
And even the woman in the video is obviously somewhat comparable as well. So yeah. what was the inspiration, and how, and you guys were really good actors within it. This wasn't like, it doesn't seem like you were like uncomfortable doing it.
So it was at my high school.
Oh.
They let me film it at my high school while they were cleaning. So we got to get desks into, you know, the room that we were going to shoot in. And we set the room up how we wanted it. And I was sitting there, and it brought me back, because that classroom we used, that teacher fucking hated me.
Yeah.
Like, she hated me, dude. I know she hated me. Like, she would send me, like, I would say, like, anything, and she would just send me off. So I was like, I want to use this fucking room, you know? Like, and we did. And
never let a grudge die. That's rock and roll.
No, and, man, the idea of it was, yeah, man, you know, just all these fun music videos that you used to see on MTV come on, that you used to laugh, or, you know, you would always just pay attention and just, your eyes would never leave. It was always like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And yeah, man, we were just super comfortable, because it was just really comfortable. Everybody there was all in for it. It was in my hometown. It was in my high school that I went to. And my manager was there, and he asked the superintendent, he was like, what was Gio like in school? And he was like, you're seeing it right here. Like, right. That's what he was like.
Chasing chicks.
Yeah, dude.
Yearning for the teacher. Hey, guys, real quick before the next thing, I want to get to our commercial break. So, hey, folks, at this time, we'd like to remind you that not only are you listening to a killer podcast right now, but we also produce an amazing rock-themed cruise vacation called Ship Rocks. We just finished up our last cruise back this January, but we're coming again back in this January 2023, and one of our featured artists is Giovanni and the Hired Guns. So, guys, if you're interested in joining us on this amazing cruise, please go to shiprock.com to learn more about the sailing coming up and also to purchase your cabins. So anyway, back to our conversation. I brought that up because again, this is a great conversation between you and Chad, because Chad, I can't remember the song when you guys did the high school volleyball video, which is fucking
give
hysterical.
A hell. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. Like you're this high school kind of like every great video you loved growing up combined and just silly, but it never interrupted the song.
No, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we kind of thought of whenever they're chasing each other with a water gun, we want to do a Scooby-Doo effect where you would see the principal run into one room and the kid with a gun, and then you'd see the principal run with the gun backwards. And it was, that was such a fun video to make. And we were actually trying to do what like Rolling Stones did with the lady that they would always use in the music videos.
Yep.
So the same girl that's in the I Don't Mind music video is the same girl that played in the Ramon Ayala music video. So I don't know if, I mean, she killed me in the last music video, so I don't know if I'm going to have her in this next music video. You
know? Never let go of a grudge. See this?
There you go. Yeah. Hey, you real quick, guys. We have gone live now, so we're on Facebook Live. So thank you, everyone, who's joined us tonight. We're here with Giovanni from Giovanni and the Hired Guns. If you guys have, yeah, he just said hello to everyone. Again, hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend. If you have any questions for Giovanni, or if you have anything you want to spout out, if you want to send a message to him, please throw it in the thread, and we're going to continue on with our conversation. I'll tell you, one of the tracks that I'd love you to tell me a story behind Can't Answer Why. Cause that's one of my favorite rock tracks right now. It's just, it's got a 90s feel to it. It sounds very confessional and very personal. Was it something that happened in your life?
Yeah. Oh yeah. All the songs are about stuff that's happened in my life. And that one, yeah, man, I felt like I let a buddy down, you know, like my best pal down, you know, which I did. But you know, we're best friends now, but it was that, man. It was just like, I don't know if I was getting like to him a big head or something, but he told me and I was just like, oh crap. And I started overthinking everything. I was just like, maybe I am, man, maybe whatever. He's like, you know, maybe this. And then I was just like, you know, maybe I was made for something, maybe I was made for nothing, maybe I'm just tired of being me. It came to my head. I just like, boom, there it is. And that's how it just kind of went, man, with just that. And then the place I was in my mindset at that time in my life was just not very good, you know. Yeah. Like there's a lot of dark
man,
I feel like every time I want to write a song, I have to go to a dark place. It's fucking scary, you know? Like, it's weird. I don't know.
Explain the Jameson bottle and the moose antlers?
Hey, man. You know, that's why it's there.
There's your muse right there.
One time I was going to grab it and just pop it open and chug it. And boom, songs are going to come out.
Yeah. Now, so you wrote the song, and apparently it was about the situation with your friend. Has he heard the song? Does he know that it's about him?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What was his reaction?
Dude, he kind of teared up whenever we played it, and it was really cool.
Nailed it.
Yeah, like we played it live, and yeah, man. And he was just kind of like, you know, you fucker, like, God, you know.
I was gonna say, did you ice him afterwards?
I should have. No, man.
Yeah, that's right, dude.
I did. Yeah.
Eat it. I got that on video. I did a
haul. Yeah, dude. You fucking cried. What a baby, dude. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's our music video, man. This is going to be you crying. I have a question about the band. Crying.
Just
millions of views, dude. Ten months later, this dude's just like, why did you do that to me? I got a question about the name. Because I read everything. Maybe I shouldn't even expose this, and I'll let you do it. But why is it And the Hired Guns, A, and B, can you tell me about that pawn shop life?
Yeah, so let me answer your A first. So man, we were on our way to go play in Marble Falls at a wedding. And at this time, I was just hiring
Marble Falls, yep.
I was just hiring guys to come play for me. Like, I'd get paid. I'd be like, here's $100. Here's, you know, at that time, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Here's $100.
What kind of songs were you playing at the wedding? Just out of curiosity, what did they have to learn?
We didn't have to learn anything. At this time, we didn't have a record out, but we had music out, and they liked our music. But we did some covers. Like, we weren't like, okay, oh, we have to play this. Like,
what cover did you dread?
Yeah.
I didn't dread a cover. The cover was my favorite. We used to cover Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And that was really, really awesome. That's when I loved.
Okay, that's a safe one song for you guys. That's a safe one. What's the awkward one you had to do at the wedding? Where's the one where you're like, fuck, let's get through this 4 minutes?
Oh,
was it Possum Kingdom by the Tokens? Because if you say yes, I'm going to freak out.
Probably like Rascal Flatts or something, man. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. You want to run through that one.
Yeah. Nothing against Rascal Flatts.
They're an amazing band. And they got songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like, it's not really our thing, but we'll do it for you. Just make sure so
they were like, we have this marquee outside and we want to make this video and we want to have y'all's name on the marquee and be in the video. In the video, I was getting married, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of looked at the guy and I'm just like, I don't know. And one of the guys at the time in the band overheard, he's like, man, we're kind of hired guns. You know, you could tell him that. And I was just like, yeah, man, hey, how about just Giovanni and the hired guns? And he was like, cool. I'll put it on the marquee. And it kind of just stuck after that 10 years later, 8 years later, however long ago that was.
Yeah. That's my accident. What I was hoping it to be.
My accident.
You know what it is? Every studio musician in the world is going, we could do that?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Why didn't we form a band?
This dude's a fourth member?
What? He plays an instrument? Yes, I fucking do.
So you knew one of the guys then because you guys worked together or something, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the pawn shop.
So,
pawn shop blood. I got to know.
Dude,
just include that in your bio if there wasn't a fucking grimy moment.
Yeah, I worked at this pawn shop that one of my buddies owned. He actually owned. His grandpa passed it down to him. And I was in Stephenville a lot, and I moved to Stephenville, and he was kind of like, well, you can talk to people really good. Do you want a job? And I was like, yeah, what do I have to do, you know? And they kind of trained me, and it was a really cool job. Because I wrote almost the entire Bad Habits album in that fucking pawn shop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whenever we weren't busy, I'd look around and there's this guy, the manager there, his name's John. And he didn't care. Like, we'd always listen to classic rock. I think that's what I think drove a little bit of what was going on was I would always listen to it was 92.1 or 97.1. Whatever, we either one, you know? And so I would go clean the guitars that was on the guitar rack. And each one I would slowly grab and go and sit down in the corner. I would tune it, and then I would strum something. And I would just write, and I would have my phone out. And I would record a little session of just me tuning all these guitars and cleaning them. You know, they were the cleanest guitars in the world.
This is good. The guy goes to pick up his guitar.
But, and says,
hey,
yeah.
Can I talk to the manager?
Yeah, dude. But, you know, man, it was awesome. And they let me do a lot of stuff that not very or regular bosses would do, you know, ordinary bosses would do. Like, it got to finally a point where I was getting a little busy, and we finally signed with Red 11, and I couldn't work the whole week. So he needed someone with the whole week, and then I went and worked in a pro shop, and that was my last job, was at a golf pro shop, man.
Collecting the carts.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, there you go. Say, hey, so two questions about the pawn shop. one, you said the Bad Habits is written there. Was any of the songs written about some of the customers that come in there? Because there are some interesting characters. And two, what was the best guitar that came through that you ended up making your own?
Oh, man, dude. I can answer that one. I still have it. It's not in this room. It's in my bedroom. It's an Alvarez that was made in Japan, and it's like sunburst, and it is just six string, and it's just so beautiful, made out of rosewood and some other type of wood that I don't know, because I don't know very many things about guitars, but I know how to strum it. And that was the coolest thing that I made my own. And what was the weirdest thing that came in there?
No. What were any of the songs written about some of the customers that came in there? Because they seem like pawn shops tend to have a lot of interesting folks that roll through there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was. I'm sure my brain at that time was looking at some of these characters and was just, I don't know, man. My brain's kind of weird. Like, you know, I pick stuff up that I don't even realize that I do. And like, I study people sometimes. And when they came in, like, I don't know, man. Sometimes you feel bad and they're just trying to like, dude, what can I get for these nails that I have? And it's like, fuck, dude, nothing.
Oh, there's definitely some heartbreakers that roll through there. Yeah.
Like, I think that was the worst part of that job, dude.
Here's some nails.
Dude, I swear.
I get it, man. Yeah.
Like, what can I get for these nuts? And I'm like, they're like, just like, you don't have the other end of the bolt. They're like, no, like, I just have a bag of nuts. I'm like, I can't buy that, dude. Yeah, man.
Okay, yeah, so dude. Let's
sorry, talk. Sorry, you can't help but be 12.
Yeah. Let's fast forward to 2022. I Don't Mind came out. Is that the first song then from the upcoming album, or is that just a standalone single?
That's the song that's going to be on the next album.
Yeah. Okay. Anything you want to pull back the curtains on a new record, or is it kind of hush hush right now?
So I already made a promise to some of the fans that we were going to release on July 1st, which didn't happen. And I'm a prick for that. I'm an asshole for that. And I also said that we were going to do it in July, late July. Well, something's happening right now that we're waiting on, something that, man, I want to tell y'all so bad, but it's just like,
well, no, don't just say that. Just tell your fans you're using the Mayan calendar and July is different.
Yes. We're using it maybe to go, because there's a lot of really cool things that could happen.
Okay. So you got some great stuff coming along, and it kind of pushed the album. Okay.
Yes,
we know the label politics of things. Yeah, and they want things to work. Sure.
We had to push the album back a little bit just to see what we could, what get we could get, nuts. You know? Nothing.
Yeah. That's right. Listen, absolutely, and I think your fans can understand that there's an opportunity there that just kind of changed things. It doesn't mean you don't love them, and the album's not coming out. No. The time's a little different.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I assume it's done then, right? Or are you barreling out excuses because you hit a writer's block? You're like, shit, man, I gotta go work at this fucking job for a little bit.
It's done, dude. It's done. It's done, and it's called Tejano Punk Boys.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And
the name of the album is called Tejano Punk Boys?
Tejano Punk Boys is going to be the name of the album.
That's hard. Really, that's cool.
Really, 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 really excited. I'm trying to see if I can find a picture on here that I can just share on the screen real quick. But I can't seem to find one. But yeah, man, it's gonna be called the Tejano Punk Boys, and the album art is really, really cool. It's really, really cool. I don't want to ruin anything because I want everybody to be excited, just like I am. But the album cover has a lot of mentions of our music video we've already done and future ones that are gonna be made.
That makes sense. Easter eggs.
So we have an album cover that has already references in there of past videos and future videos that we're going to shoot, which is really neat. And yeah, record is going to be out. I don't know yet. Soon.
Soon is a big word in the Shiprock yes. lexicon, so we all know that means either tomorrow or 3 months from now. It's okay. There's a leeway, dude. Come on, man. You know what you always
think that it'll be all before the ship?
Yeah. It better goddamn okay. will be. Yeah.
Yes. It'll be out before the ship. Yes. Right.
100%. Gio, what you tell people if they ask, you can just say it's supply chain.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. Man. It's right now it's sitting somewhere in the Philippine Sea.
Yes.
It's waiting to get here. So speaking of sea, and you're going to be doing Shiprock, then this is usually Chad's domain about cruising.
So, yeah, I mean, have you been on a ship? You're from Texas. Ever. Well, have you performed in any non-standard places? When I mean non-standard, I mean like, have you performed in any situation? Yeah, we could start there. We could also backpedal to be like inside of a dark cave, you know, like anything that's just like extra credit performance spaces.
Yeah.
Or the ship going to be the first time that you've ever...
A flatbed trailer with a bunch of hay bales on it.
Thought you were going to say a flat earth, and I was going to say, nice to see you. I'll see you later.
No. This will be the first time.
I can guarantee you at least this. Performing on a ship will be a larger highlight than a flatbed trailer with some hay on it, for sure. So you haven't even been out on like a cruise before. Well, I'm so excited to meet you exactly at the time that you board that ship, so I can be there at the very end of that ship to see exactly how much your life has changed for the better. Once you've been a part of our Nucleus there. There's one thing
we also want to see your bar tab.
Yeah. definitely. No ooh, cheese.
Yeah, good thing I've been saving. Woo! Woo!
No, man, you play your cards right, you won't have to buy one drink.
There you go. You seem like a charmer too, so you're going to be especially when it comes to the Nucleus that is the fans on the ship. There's no nicer people. Yeah. No more accepting people and no larger fan base that really tunes in and has your back than the people of Shiprock. And they come from all different walks of life and all different places of the world, and they will be behind you 100% after this ship. So
that sounds fun.
Rest assured that no matter how much you spend on booze and no matter how many times you puke in the bucket, you will still be whole at the end of it. Promise.
You know, one of the great things about you guys coming on is that I would say, and Chad, I don't know how you feel, but this is the most eclectic bill we've had.
I agree.
By far. I mean, obviously the kind of metalcore of Parkway Drive to kind of the more kind of chart topping punk of like Falling in Reverse to like some real like industrial techno metal beats with like Wargasm, and just there's just all the stuff in between, all the, you know, the Motionless and White kind of goth metal, and then there's you guys, and it's kind of like, man, you know what? And the funny thing is there's fans that are like, they need to break up, you know, they need to break up the whatever they're hearing and go, I'm gonna go hear some rock. I gotta hear some rock, some straight ahead rock for them. So that in a lot of ways is so advantageous for you guys to be on the board on the ship this year.
The one band I'm really excited to see is Dinosaur Pilot.
Are they on?
I love that band, but I don't know if they're on the ship.
Are they on this year?
I thought last I saw they were on there.
We're biffing this. You're talking about the band from the UK, right? The three-piece, four-piece.
Yeah,
they sound like those guys fucking rule. But
I don't know. Rule.
I'm gonna double check just in case somebody snuck past.
Maybe it was an alphabetical order.
You're wrong.
Maybe it was a dream.
No, I think at one point they were confirmed for a Shiprock, but it didn't sail.
All right, who's your second choice?
I don't know anymore. Probably Falling in Reverse would be really cool.
You know what, dude? You're gonna go on there and go, I never heard of this band, but the most fucking awesome thing ever. And who are they? And you're gonna be, because you're gonna, that's the cool thing, is like all the bands kind of hang and watch and chill, and they're just fans, and they get turned on to shit too. Because hell, man, when you're on the road, you don't get a chance to like dabble into other music. You're just focused on your own thing. You know, you live in that tunnel. So it's really cool then to see bands kind of go out, and then the opportunity to kind of jump in for a song here and there with a band is to, you know, that you may dig. It's just, that's the kind of good thing. It's not your festival where it's like, you know, hey, you're on it 45 minutes, you're off. It's just kind of like super loose. Wow. I mean, we want everyone to, we run a pro outfit here, but we keep it loose.
I'm really excited.
Because a lot of bands, it's going to be the first thing they do before they start their next either campaign or tour or whatever they're going to be doing for the next year. So we kind of want them to send them off with a big old smile on their face before it
gets to the grind. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Chad, you want to play a little Walk the Plank with our friend Gio here?
Gio, do you mind if we...
Hey, real quick, our friend Renee, she's a ship rocker. Renee says she's going to buy every drink you ever want.
Sorry, Renee.
Oh, really?
Every person you meet, you have to ask.
Is your name Renee?
You find her.
Hey, Renee. What's up?
Actually, she should say she'd buy you a drink. I don't know, but I got a smudge on my phone, so that may say drinks. I don't know.
Hey. Hey. Either way. Hey.
Yeah. So, dude, Walk the Plank. We're going to ask you just a random question. Just give whatever answer. It can be silly. It can be serious. It could be cool. Nothing. No judgment here.
I love judgment. All right.
So Chad, I'm going to start, and then we'll pass it to Justin, and then we're going to pass it to an act that we interviewed last time that's going to ask you a question. That's just how it's going to go. And we might throw in some surprises along the way. But first up, do you possess any of the qualities of your astrological sign? I don't know what sign you are, dog, but... Oh. First, I guess, what sign are you, dude?
Scorpio.
Do you think that what they say about Scorpios has anything to do with your personality?
Man, I don't know what they say about Scorpios. Besides, what do they say?
They say that they're very good at writing songs in pawn shops and cleaning guitars is their biggest quality. They make everything that they clean guitar wise so clean and spotless. I don't know. I'm trying to kill time while I look up what Scorpio
and they yeah. also think that yes, they think that turtles are mystical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you get the characteristics of that
sign? Wow. It says I'm really good at sex.
Yes, it says you're incredibly passionate and powerful. Mm-hmm. Scorpio is often mistaken for .. because I didn't.
No trousers can contain you.
What about the passion? Do you feel like you're? I can tell you're.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah. You got to have some passion in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How the fuck did we tail off into that passion? All right, listen, we're gonna bring it on home a little different here. Okay, what song in your life evokes the strongest memories that is not your own?
Okay, wait. Can you say that again?
Okay, a song in your life that's not one you've written or performed that evokes the strongest memories in your life.
Oh man. Y'all are gonna believe me, but these were the greatest times of my life when I was listening to Toby Keith's Shook It Down album, man. Every time I listen to I Love This Bar or Whiskey Girl, dude, it reminds me of my childhood. Me and my sister were just kids, and we would just rock out to that. I mean, as whatever. We thought that was the greatest, the coolest thing.
Hey, listen, man.
Whenever I listen to I Love This Bar or Whiskey Girl, it brings me back to me being a kid. And every time I have different kinds of music from Deftones to Norteña music to whatever. But every time that song comes on my shuffle, I never see it.
You know what, man?
And I just drive and I'm just like zoned in.
We're going to ask this to somebody in 10 years and they're going to go and there'll be like a rocker and they'll go, yeah, man, you know, Stapleton's Tennessee whiskey kind of did it for me. So totally. Also, by the way, Godspeed to Toby Keith. We know right now he's dealing with some health issues. So let's put that out into the world.
Yes.
So, dude, so you guys are in the midst of a tour. Like I said, I'm going to see you guys play New Orleans here on the 11th over at the House of Blues. I'm pretty stoked about that. Finally get to meet you guys. I didn't get to see, I heard you at Rockville. I didn't get to see you, though. I was kind of busy. But yeah. You guys are doing this tour. New records coming out, undisclosed as far as what day that's going to happen, because some getting hopefully some really good news coming down the pike.
Yeah,
hopefully. Anything else you want to tell some folks out there? I mean, where can they go? Can they go to Geo and the Guns or geoandthehiredguns.com to find out where you guys are playing?
Yes, it's
geoandtheguns.com. Geo and the Guns.
And it has links to our merch, our calendar, all that good jazz. And yeah, for anybody that's never listen to us or have heard of us, please check us out. You won't be disappointed, I hope, anyways. And yeah, I'm so excited to be on this cruise, ready to hang out and finally get to meet you in person.
Yeah, no, listen, man, what he said is if you guys are a fan of like country rock, I mean, it doesn't matter if you into the Allman Brothers or Skynyrd, or that can kind of like smoothly seam into like the Foo Fighters and just kind of a nice go between there. I think it's something it's driving music for sure. Roll down the windows, find an open road and just go. That's the kind of music that these guys are playing right now. For sure. check out the video for Ramon Ayala. How do you pronounce it?
Ramon Ayala.
If you guys loved Hot for Teacher video as a kid growing up, or maybe your older brother was into it, check it out. It'll bring back some memories. So anyway, Gio, thank you so much, brother. Much success coming up, and we look forward to whatever the new record's going to be. If you guys want to check out I Don't Mind, that's one of the songs that's going to be on the record. Kind of give you.
Yeah, that one has a video too. And if you liked Ramon Ayala, you should look at that video too.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Anyway, guys, listen, thank you for joining us tonight, but we couldn't leave without giving thanks to a few folks, including Gio here and Chad. Chad is actually our Shiprock host, if you guys are just joining us for the first time, so get to know him. He's going to get to know you. Anyway, we want to put a big shout out.
Right next to you in your bedroom every night till we get there. Not sexual, just want to make sure you're sleeping okay. Getting that 8 hours.
Top of the sheets. Good Lord Almighty. Anyway, listen, we want to thank our show producer, Al McManus, our show engineer, Jennifer Zito, and our show coordinator, Heather Smith. And thank the captain, Alan Koenig. I think Alan's on his way back from a wonderful trip to Alaska. So he ranted and raved about it. Anyway, guys, we won't be seeing you in Alaska, but we will be seeing you in Cape Canaveral here in January. And then we're all just going to get on that fucking boat and have a good time. Ooh. And we're going to have the music of Giovanni and the Hired Guns along with us for the ride. So anyway, brother, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. This, again, drops this coming Monday, the 11th at 9 a.m. Eastern, wherever you get podcasts. And you can also go to the Ask for Entertainment YouTube channel to see our smiling faces. Thanks, all.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm on the road again, half drunk with a lit cigarette. I don't know when I'll be back in this town. At least that's what I tell her. Baby, I'm just saying, maybe I just think too much. I'm leaving in the AM. Baby, are you saying I know that you drank too much? And this is what she said to me. At the same damn place.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe Grind Podcast.